I want to read just verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. We had Brother Davis to read verses 18 through 24, but I want to just read verse 24 at this point. Paul is speaking of himself, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul is saying that he was willing to suffer for the Colossian Christians. He speaks of the afflictions of Christ. Christ has already suffered for the church. We often say that Christ suffered, bled, and died for the church, for us. And we recognize that the church is us, that we are the church. Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. And he was not just mouthing words. Paul suffered tremendously for the cause of Christ and for the body of Christ. Paul laid his life on the line. Paul dispensed with his comfort. Paul spent many nights and days in jail. Paul was once stoned and left for dead. Paul received many beatings. Paul was beaten and scourged with the whip, and he was also beaten with rods. He bore the marks of being brutalized in his flesh. He did that in large measure for the church. He operated on behalf of the church. I don't think any of us have been beaten in the interests of the church. I don't think any of us have suffered arrest and jailing because of our commitment to the cause of Christ and for the sake of the body. I want to read verse 24 before we proceed from the Amplified New Testament. Colossians 1:24 from the Amplified New Testament. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf, and in my own person, I am making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, what Paul is saying is that there's some suffering that is left. Christ suffered, and Christ made a complete sacrifice on the cross for us. But there's still some suffering. We can have fellowship in his suffering for the church, for the body. There is suffering that is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. For the sake of the body. That's what I want to think about this evening. For the sake of, we understand what that means. For the purpose of, in the interest of, in order to achieve or preserve. out of consideration for or in order to help someone. There are some things that we need to do in the interest of the body, in the interest of the church. Christ served in the interest of the church. Christ sacrificed in the interest of the church. Christ suffered, bled, and died in the interest of the church. But he didn't do all of the suffering. He didn't do all of the sacrificing. He didn't do all of the serving in the interest of the church. He's left some for us. Although his sacrifice was perfect, his sacrifice was complete, his sacrifice was final, but yet we can have fellowship with him in his suffering, in his sacrificing, in his serving, in the interests of the body, in order to achieve the purposes of the body, out of consideration for the body, in order to help the body. There are some things that we need to be consciously aware of that we can do. Notice, I want to call these escalating levels of committed involvement to advance the cause of the church. Escalating levels of committed involvement to advance the cause of the church. There are three levels. There are three levels, and they move from one state of intensity to a higher state of intensity to the highest state of intensity. And as we talk, I want you to interrogate yourself. I want you to ask yourself some vital questions. I want to have you to ask yourself, what am I doing in the interest of the body or for the sake of the body? And what am I willing to do in the interest of the body, for the sake of the body, to help the body reach its objectives and goals? The first level of committed operation in the interest of the body is serve. Now, serving, that's not too hard, is it? Are you willing to serve for the sake of the body? Are you willing to serve in any particular capacity in order to help the body reach its goals and objectives? Now, we know what it means to serve. That's not something that is complicated. That's not something that is difficult. That's not something that is hard. To serve is defined basically as to attend to help, to meet the needs of, to render assistance to perform duties or services for another person or organization. Jesus, in John chapter 13, as we mentioned this morning, when he took a towel and grabbed a basin, filled it with water, and washed the disciples' feet, Jesus was involved in serving. He was involved in attending to, in helping, in meeting the needs of his disciples. He was involved in performing a much needed duty in washing the dusty, dirty feet of his disciples. There is a very meaningful example of service recorded in Matthew chapter 8. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Starting with verse number 14. This is an example of service in action. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14. Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, this debunks the Catholic notion that Peter was the first pope. You know, the pope can't marry. And Peter had a wife. Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever. And the Bible says in verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. So she had a sickness. She had a malady. Jesus performed a miracle, and then she ministered unto them. In ministering to them, she served them. A lot of you serve the needs of individuals. James Waller does a lot of serving in visiting and checking on those who are sick. So he is a servant of the Lord. Those who teach, they render a service for the sake of the body. Whether you're teaching children, whether you're teaching adults, whether you're teaching teens, any operation of teaching the Word of God is rendering a service in the interests of the body. From an evangelistic perspective, those who share the gospel with those who are lost are rendering a service in the interest of, for the sake of, the body. You say, well, those are not members of the church, but you're still rendering a service in the interest of and for the sake of the body, to promote the cause of the body, because our primary calling is to seek and to save those that are lost. Because the body is going to grow, the body is going to increase if you put forth an effort and reach out to those who are lost. But I wanted to particularly call attention to Peter's wife's mother. She took advantage of the opportunity to serve the disciples and to serve Jesus. We need to take every opportunity in order to serve as well. Not only can we serve and should we serve, that's level one. That's the minimum reality expectation, the MRE. That's the lowest level of involvement, serve. And that's a place of service for everybody. Everybody has a place. Everybody who is a body in the body has a place of service in the church. Somebody said, Brother Jones, what about the folks who are sick? What about the folks who are on their sick bed and can't get up? I propose to you that even if a person can't talk, even if a person can't walk. Even if a person can't feed himself, even if a person can't bathe himself, even if a person can't clothe himself, you know, this affords a wonderful opportunity for others to serve him or others to serve her. But if that person has the proper functioning of his mental faculties, he's able to render service. He's able to render a ministry. Well, what can a person do if he can't talk, if he can't walk? But he still has a clear mind and his faculties are operating normally. You don't have to be able to talk to pray. A prayer ministry. And some people don't realize that. Sometimes we don't realize that. And one of the things along this line, sometimes, has this ever happened to you? Somebody say, pray for me. Brother, please pray for me. A sister, pray for me. You say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I'm so going to pray for you. And you go your way and straightway forget that prayer request and find yourself sometimes neglecting to pray for individuals. So now I have found a way to deal with that, Brother Molan, to ensure that I don't forget to pray for a particular individual in the interest of the body, in the interest of that person. I go ahead and I pray immediately. You should pray for me, please. Soon as I leave your presence, as I'm walking away or departing from your presence, I go ahead and engage in prayer right then and there, because I don't want to forget it. And I don't want to have misled you or misrepresented the truth by saying, I'll pray for you, and forget to pray for you. So we need to be conscientious about that. But there are so many things that we can do for others in serving in the interests of the body. That's level one. But let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In whatever way you can serve one another, do it by love, but do serve. And sometimes you can serve another, your brother, your sister in Christ, by offering a word of encouragement when a person is feeling low, when a person is discouraged, when a person is depressed, when a person feels defeat, we can reach out to them and we can strive to encourage them, and we can strive to help infuse them with new hope. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom, that's the church, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There's a place of service for you in the body, in the interests of the body. Matthew 20, verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. There's a place of service for everybody in the body. That's the first level of committed activity in the interests of the body. The second level is sacrifice. Sacrifice. What is sacrifice? I think we understand what sacrifice is. It is the surrender of something of value for the sake of something of greater value, or having a more pressing claim. The surrender of something of value for the sake of something of greater value, or having a more pressing claim. That's what sacrifice is all about. Now, in order for the church to advance its cause, some sacrificing has to be made. Some sacrificing has to be demonstrated. For instance, if you want to reach out to the lost, if you want to share the gospel with the lost, if you want to convert the lost, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. Your favorite team might be playing on Monday night football, and usually that's going to last for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you might be very excited about the game in which your favorite team is playing, but you have an opportunity to conduct a Bible study on that night at the time your game is on. What are you going to do? I trust you will sacrifice the ball game and attend to that which has a more pressing claim. You might have a favorite television program, and you are assigned to conduct the morning class on Sunday morning, the adult class, or the children's class. And you need to prepare. You need to study. You need to get ready to do a good job in teaching your lesson. Some sacrificing has to be done. You're giving up something of great value in the interest of something of greater value, or something that has a more pressing claim. That sacrifice. You might have saved up some money to go on vacation, $1,000 to go on vacation. But then Brother Jones runs into an emergency, and I use my emergency fund, but I'm still coming up short. And you've been looking forward to going on this vacation. But you said, Brother Jones, I was scheduled to go to Disney World on vacation, and I know you are about $1,000 short. Hey, that's exactly how much I had saved up for vacation. So what I'm going to do, and this is Molin Thompson talking to me. Mo said, what I'm going to do, Brother Jones, I want to give you this $1,000 because I love you, and I want to operate in the interest of, for the sake of the body. And so here's this $1,000, 10 $100 bills. And I know they are fresh because I just printed them this morning. No, Molin would give me the real thing. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. That's giving up something of great value for something having a more pressing claim. That's a sacrifice. And we can think of numerous examples. Sometimes when it comes to giving liberally and faithfully for the church, for the operation of the church, we give, we dig deep because we are willing to sacrifice for the sake of the body, in the interest of the body, for the purpose of advancing the cause of the body. Are you willing to do any sacrificing for the sake of the body? You know, some people are not even willing to give up their television program on a Sunday night in order that they can be back and worship with the saints. That's not much of a sacrifice. Some folks, when the Super Bowl comes, they say, just once a year, I'm not going to miss the Super Bowl. Are you willing to sacrifice, give up the Super Bowl? Sometimes when your relatives come into town during the time you're getting ready to go to service, well, Aunt Susie's in town. I hadn't seen her since the last family reunion. I'm going to stay here and entertain Aunt Susie and Uncle John. Now tell them, y'all come go to church with me. And if you don't want to do that, I'm going and I'll be back. Y'all can stay here till I get back. But that's just a simple example of a sacrifice we can make. The first level of committed involvement, serving. The second level, sacrificing. And the third level, suffering. Are you willing to suffer for the sake of the body? That's not asking too much, is it? I don't believe that it is. God calls upon us to be willing to suffer for the sake of the body. I don't think many of us have experienced real suffering in the interests of the body. What does it mean to suffer? To endure pain, distress, or death. To sustain loss or damage for a cause or an interest. The early disciples, they knew what it was like to suffer for the sake of the body. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, Peter and John, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, Paul says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, for his interests." We need to do the same thing in the interests of the body of Christ. Jesus served. He went about doing good. He fed those who were hungry. Not only did he feed those who were hungry, but he healed those who were sick. He administered to men and women, and he taught the word of God to them. He did it for the sake of us who compose the body. Not only did he serve, but he suffered. He suffered persecution. He sacrificed himself for us. Served, sacrificed, and suffered. What are you willing to do for the sake of the body, in the interests of the body, to advance the cause of the body? Now, most of us can talk a good game, but that's not what we need. We don't need just empty talk. We need real service, real sacrifice, and if need be, real suffering for the sake of the body. If you are here this evening and you are part of the body, but you have not demonstrated a willingness to serve, a willingness to sacrifice, a willingness